morning, good afternoon, and good night. And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Everybody, it's Shift and Stare. Welcome to the party, pal. So we are ready to get going, rocking. As we're talking, we are in the Midwest. The Street Machine Nationals are happening. They're selling for wild prices at auction. We're going to talk about what that is. And we are going to talk about riding the Broncos. So it's all today on Shift and Stare. Everybody's here. Aaron, Matt, myself, Brad. But first, Matt's going to tell us about who helps us bring this to the...
We appreciate our friends, Geico and, of course, McGuire's. But our friends at Geico, you know, you own your home or you rent your home. And we all know it can be quite a bit of work. But, of course, bundling your policies with Geico is easy. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing because we already have so much to do around our homes already, or your shop or whatever. Just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And of course, our friends at McGuire's, you know, over the past few years, you know, McGuire's has launched the next generation of protective products specifically toward DIYers. Their hybrid ceramic line of products. They have their spray wax. This is the one we mentioned in the bright blue bottle. It's their advanced SiO2 hybrid technology. It delivers ceramic wax protection and durability beyond traditional wax. And of course, their hybrid ceramic liquid wax. It's just a liquid wax version of their spray wax. It's a long-lasting protection in an easy-to-use wax. Their hybrid ceramic spray detailer, this is the one we like. It removes fingerprints, dust, bird droppings, and gives that quick, easy, boosted shine in between full waxing. And their newest product, of course, is their hybrid ceramic wash and wax, the bright orange bottle. It's the two-part system, all in one bucket. It washes the vehicle and gives it a little added protection, all in the process of just one activity, washing your vehicle. All right, so McGuire says a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone. I was trying to think of, like, what's the term for washing other than just washing
the washing vehicle? Session.
The session. One step.
Is it step, though? Because there's so many steps with kind of washing, drying, and anyway, ceramic made step. Easy.
It's one McGuire's. Inclusive step.
McGuire's. Thank you, McGuire's.
One Saturday morning activity.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. Does it have to be Saturday
just
morning?
Just touching into Saturday afternoon. Just a little, just a touch. <into Saturday. laughs> Well.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
You're talking about all that wax. They should have Lizzie Borden be an endorser because she gave her, you know, father 30 wax, didn't she?
I don't know who that is.
Come on. You know that old Matt. Nursery rhyme, or not nursery rhyme, but.
Matt, I think Brad's been getting too much sun.
No, Brad hasn't been getting any sun because Brad's been building mezzanines. And hey, I do have some really good news, though. I had showed Matt when he was here that I was remodeling the bathrooms here at the studio and at Bond Speed.
Wow. And
for some reason,
so you're going to have hot water at the sink?
I decided to do it. As a matter of fact, the guy that was here this morning, he was here about putting in a new water heater and relocating it. And but I had a guy come by, and we're going to do it right, man. I'm not going to do it. That's what's going to be right.
That's the right part.
I actually have a contractor doing it. But
are you getting new toilet bowls? Because those have seen their
We're putting in new toilets. We're putting in new sinks and cabinets.
Wow.
New mirrors, LED recessed lighting. We are tiling bathrooms. And then we're doing this architectural tile that I showed Matt that they use in a lot of office buildings where it's got like a wave motion. And
Yeah,
it's really cool. So that'll be the splash guard, you know, halfway up the wall, and it'll be painted. And they're going to look really nice. And then we're going to move to the rest of the shop. But those needed, because when I remodeled the shop the last time, I didn't touch the bathrooms, as you guys know.
Oh, I've noticed.
Yeah.
And I don't think you changed out those expired chips that are like 30 years expired by the bathroom either.
We've all been in.
He always looks at and goes,
we've been in many a hot rod shop or an automotive shop where you walk into the bathrooms and you go, not only have they not modeled these, they haven't cleaned them. And
It just smells like soap. It's the pipes. It's the pipes.
Man. Nick's bathroom
is like that here.
We have such hard water at this place that I've changed the fixtures and the toilets before, and then they just get all calcium and everything. So this time I'm having a filtration system put on because I keep ruining faucets and sinks and everything. So.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Anybody that's gonna swing by Bond Speed to pick up a set of wheels, take a picture while you're there.
We're gonna be proud of those things.
Famous for its bathrooms.
That's right. You think these wheels are nice? Take a look at my crapper.
Hey, it all starts where you do your business. Okay.
That's right. That's right. Well, Brad, it sounds like you've been selling wrecked cars at the auctions then, because you've got some cash to throw into your bathroom.
No, it was just time.
Have you been crashing cars and selling them online?
Cryptocurrency.
You've been fucking posting crypto things and Brad's smoking cigars and
it's working.
Diamond rings and
it's working.
Are you going to be in that boat tail next?
All right. The Rolls Royce.
If Safe Moon. Now get this. Okay. I invested in one called Safe Moon that everybody's talking about, and they're saying could be the next, you know, like Dogecoin, okay?
Right.
So I bought into SafeCoin, and I bought, as a bonus for Rick, I bought him 38 million shares of Safe Moon. Now, here's the thing. I gave him the little thing and I go, Rick, you now own 38,400,000 and whatever shares of Safe Moon. And he goes, what? I go, well, you know, I appreciate everything you've been doing. He goes, hey, that's $200. And I go, yeah. I said, you know, but like I told him, if it goes to, because right now it's at 400th of a cent. So if it goes to a dime, it's worth millions of dollars.
Wow.
I mean, if it went to what Dogecoin is, and that's how the guys on Dogecoin became millionaires. They bought in at like 400th of a cent, and when it went to like a penny, they made hundreds of thousands of dollars. When it went now at 40, think, if it's 38 million shares and it goes to 50 cents, you got $15 million. So it didn't even have to go to 50 cents. All it has to go is like a dime and you've made serious bank. So it's worth throwing a little bit of money at it.
I was going to say it. And for $200, it's worth doing it. Hey, Brad, if you don't mind, send me your portfolio. and I'll just copy paste.
No, seriously, like on Dogecoin.
Couple hundred bucks.
I've made some serious money on Dogecoin and on Bitcoin. I've done okay. You know, I bought in at a good time on Bitcoin, but anyways, it's fun. It really is fun, and it's and as I told you guys, I'm doing NFTs, one for fun, but also to learn, because I'm a big believer in, if you don't stay current with things, because look at where trading cards are going right now and things like that, and as a marketer, I want to know for people that I consult, but also we don't know where this is going to go in the automotive market. What happens if, there's some kind of collectible in the automotive market that becomes an NFT? Automotive aftermarket's always, kind of a decade behind. But, I want to at least know what's going on and be able to talk authoritatively about it and have fun doing it and maybe make some money. That'd be a bonus. So,
yeah. Well, I have to say, I mean, we can all say, oh yeah, I knew a guy. I actually know someone.
Yeah, that, I do too.
That made $100,000 in the last 3 or 4 months on cryptocurrency. Just dabbling. I mean, dabbling with a couple grand,
Yeah.
I think he was 3,000 in and he made $100,000. Now it dropped back to like 89,000 or something, but it's climbing again, and he's going to be back up to 100 in no time. So, yeah, I mean, but he's obsessed with that thing. I mean, that's why I don't want to get into it, because he's texting me all the time. It's up. Oh, it just went down. Oh, it's up. Oh, it just went down. It's like, stop watching it all day long.
I know.
You're going to make yourself nuts. It's like, check it once a week and go, hey, or go, oh, it's like, don't obsess over it all day. It's like, you're not working anymore because you're obsessed with crypto.
I
kind of do it with Hammer Price app too.
What's that?
Oh yeah.
We do it with the Hammer Price app. Adam Cole and I, we're always on that app looking at all the cars. What'd it go for?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're always waiting for those auction results after a big weekend.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm thinking of selling everything because the Pinsgauer just went for, 30 something grand, and half of the stuff I have is doubled, tripled, or quadrupled.
Yeah.
And I'm going, man, maybe I should just get rid of a couple things.
Yeah. But you can't buy anything.
I don't want to buy anything.
No, but I mean, you guys know my van, right? That I just got rid of. I gave it to my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
I no more than gave it to him. And that one came up on not bring a trailer, but it sold on the 80s. What is that, Matt? The 80s event that we used to go to, that we went to.
Radwood.
They have their bring a trailer now. They have the Radwood auction. And one.
Oh, there he goes again.
We lost Brad.
So Brad is frozen.
We're frozen? Damn it.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know what it was? I had to leave real quick and check my Bitcoin.
Lost the punchline.
Am I frozen again?
I guess he was going to say Radwood has an auction.
Yeah, I was thinking of getting rid of the 50 and the 27 and
Radwood has an auction.
TR3. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Right
where mine had 30,000 original miles. It was lowered. It was really nice. The one on Radwood had 129,000 miles. It had cast wheels. It was nice, but not as nice as mine. And it sold for $10,000. And I said to my wife, I went, I just gave your brother a $12,000 car. I was like, because I had, sitting in my place, I thought, oh wow, this could give it to him. And now if I could have sold, think how much Bitcoin I could have bought.
So Brad says, you owe me, honey. Now we're twice a month.
Hey, so right now, as we're recording this, the Street Machine Nationals in DeCoin, Illinois, which is right across the river from St. Louis, is happening. It didn't happen last year, like a lot of events. And they tried to do it in October, couldn't do it because of COVID. And so for anyone who's a Street Machine Pro Street or muscle car guy like me, that is one of the big events of the year. And it's always fun because it's almost like stepping back in time, because you have the late model cars. You know, Troy Trepanier always is there with his big rig and everything, and a lot of other builders. And but it's fun. I went back, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, when they didn't have it for a few years. Then they came back, made a huge thing about it, invited a bunch of us who used to come and had like what they called Pro Street Legends, because I used to go back in the 80s with my buddy Mark Grimes, and we would take Pro Street cars when it was in Indianapolis, and it used to be huge. And now it's still big, but it used to be one of those events where this is how much everything's changed because of the internet. You used to wait because they only allowed 2,000 cars. Mm-hmm. And you would wait for the magazine to come, Carcraft magazine. And as soon as it came, you'd rip out the thing to sign up, and you would FedEx it. You'd run to FedEx to get it because, you know, if you waited, hesitated at all, you wouldn't get in, you know. And but, you know, guys like Brett Vogel, who started Air Ride, and, you know, so many people that they all kind of started their careers there. And it's become kind of like this really cool mecca. And when 5 years ago, when they did the Pro Street Legends, and I didn't have a current Pro Street car to take. So through a friend of mine, I was able to take Bobby Alloway's 426 Hemi Challenger that he had built. My friend had bought it, and that car was incredible. When I pulled in that, people freaked out because it not only had a 426 Hemi, it was a race Hemi, all aluminum Hemi. And and the car, you know, you guys know Bobby Alloway, the kind of stuff he builds.
Yeah.
And you know it was his trademark pink. So, oh, no. I mean,
sure,
black.
Sure.
So, no, Bobby Alloway car was black. But that's happening this weekend. I wish I was there. And, you know, I'll look forward to seeing everything that's coming. I know that one of the big cars – that was debuting, and if you do a search for it, it was a Daytona Charger, a 70 Hemi Daytona Charger.
Wow.
Nose, the wing, everything, yeah. Pro Street.
Wow. And
it is a wicked car. The guy had built it way back, and that car disappeared. He sold it, so he replicated it, and it is dead nuts the same car. And it's really cool looking. So
wow, how fun! Yeah, those are fun. I have to say, I love that one. That's like we were talking about how the cars are all different colors because they pieced it together with a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah,
you know, there was one. I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, but it was all over the internet, and it was all these different. It was like blue and red and yellow and white, and it had all these different fenders and pieces on it. It was so cool. I think it was kind of like the one, was it Joe Dirt that they had one like that? It was all different colors.
kind of a Joe Dirt thing, right?
Yeah, it was kind of a Joe Dirt thing.
Well, speaking of events, hopefully things are starting to open up more. I know that, you know, we talked about Barrett Jackson Las Vegas coming up soon. Good guy shows are starting to open up. And yeah, Brad looks like he's sleeping in his chair.
He was frozen checking his phone, Brett.
yeah, so that should be a good event. Hopefully there'll be a good turnout there now that things are starting to open up even more and more.
Yeah, they seem to be. I think they're talking about lifting the mask ban. And
it's done.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, it's already done?
Vegas, I was talking to the guys over at Barrett Jackson last week. And they were so excited because they said nothing. They don't have to check temperatures. They don't have to require masks.
Wow.
They don't have to do anything. And so it's going to be wide open, and it's all of Vegas now. In fact, people can sit down at the slot machines side by side. They don't have to space.
Wow.
So it's going to be a whole different landscape there. Let's see how it goes.
A little bit of normalcy. Wow, what a trip. Yeah, you know, it's so funny to get not funny. It's so strange to get perspective on all this because, like, my wife, you know, being from the Czech Republic, she's talking to her family, and things are still a mess there. You know, her sister can't get vaccinated because she's not old enough, and they're closing this down and make you do this, make you do that. and then prove this and prove that. Meanwhile, here, Disneyland's opening, I think, to out-of-state people on the 15th. There's nothing up here in Tahoe. People still wear masks in certain businesses, but it's all mellow. Talking to my friend in Australia last night, and he says everything's good there, you know, and it's just kind of interesting to see the different countries and how they're still dealing with it. So,
well, I mean,
it's nice to get back to a little bit of normalcy here, you know.
You look at Japan and the Olympics are supposed to come and they're still having serious problems. I don't know how that's going to get pulled off, but I did hear that NHRA said they absolutely will not ever drop the mask mandate for their top fuel drivers. Those guys are going to have to continue to wear their masks. Any of you that listen, if you've ever had a whiff of nitro, you know why they wear those masks.
Man, it will mess you up.
Yeah,
it's like
your lungs.
It makes you cry.
Your nose starts running. Your eyes start watering. You can't stop it.
We fired up the vintage dragsters at Syracuse. Remember when we did that?
The funny car. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a mask on, but it just makes you cry.
Matt was laughing so hard he was crying.
Yeah, he was crying.
I think I have it on camera.
You wonder how those guys who are on the team and you see them run up to tune the car right on the line and they're getting it. I mean, they're getting that raw fuel coming out. I mean, you know, because if you stand on the line, it's like you said, Matt, it just sucks it away.
Yeah.
My wife, one time years ago, we were in Prudhomme's Pits and, you know, we're sitting in the hospitality area and they start up the car. And I forgot to tell her they're going to start up the car. And she was right there. And I go, they're going to start the car. And she turned around just in time to get the startup.
Get that.
And
poof.
She started crying. I mean, she was full on crying. I can't breathe. You know, and I'm
plus they're so loud. It'll knock you over from being loud. I mean,
that's an idle. Wait till they snap the throttle. Yeah.
That's what's so fun about it, right?
Let me.
You were in it that day, right, Matt? You got in the car.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right. I'll have to review that footage
here. But I did a social media post, like a story. I don't know, a week or so ago. I don't think we got. And it was just a story that had the Mustang Mach 1, and it said chip shortage. It's going to be delayed now, and I was referring to the car that I ordered and the chip shortage. And I think I got a couple of people going, what's a chip shortage? And somebody else was like, is this a nacho thing? Is this tortillas?
They didn't understand?
I guess not everybody listens to Shift and Steer, but we're talking about the computer
the
chip
news.
Shortage. Yeah, right? The computer chip shortage that's affecting all of the production of new cars. And I spoke to our friends at Galpin as well, and they said that they're really kind of running out of cars. There's no deals to be made right now because getting a new car is kind of at a premium. As these chips are starting to roll in, they're starting to, you know, refill dealer lots. But some of the specialty cars that you ordered and things like that, it's going to start trickling into even the end of this year, if not the beginning of next year, but before we're back up and running up to 100%. But the other issue is I know Ford Bronco has been in the news a lot, and Brad, you've got some Bronco news to go over as well. But
cool stuff.
But other than just the chip delay, there's a hard top delay. Ford sent out a letter and said the amount of orders we got for the Bronco, not the Bronco Sport, the full-size Bronco, with the hardtop far exceeded our expectations. We're dumping millions of dollars into our suppliers to get them to be able to move faster and ramp up and increase production. They said, but as a result of between that and the chip shortage, they don't actually have a date of when they're going to start shipping Broncos.
But here comes the Bronco craze.
Yeah. So what they did say was, here's the interesting thing is of course dealers are going to go, oh, you want a Bronco? It's going to be, you know, huge dealer markup. But Ford is saying, if you got your order in and there's a delay, we're going to give you $1,000 rebate for your time. And they've already done one round of this to use towards accessories and dealer things you might want to outfit your Bronco, which is a good idea, right? You know, from Ford's standpoint, they're saying, hey, we as the manufacturer will give you a $600 like gift card for the parts department, and it gets you back into the dealer and lets you outfit a few things, and the dealer makes a little bit of money and you know, whatever. But now they're talking about a rebate, a $1,000 rebate on the vehicle. Now, this is not just for Broncos. This $1,000 rebate, how I understand it, could be applied to F-150s, Bronco Sport, Mustangs, Mach-E, which is selling really well. Quite a few things in the Ford lineup. So if you got your order in, or I think if you order I mean, we're recording this on July 4th. You won't hear it in time, but I think if you got your order in before July 6th.
June 4th.
So maybe they are going to do this until for a month. So let me just make sure that's right. Yes. So any purchases or orders that you put in for another month until July 6th, you can qualify for the incentives for the rebate.
So can I use that to pre-order my electric Raptor?
No, but there is a
that's
Raptor
what
you
I want.
Can get.
Damn it. The I just heard a report driving home the other night on the news, just what you were saying, Matt, about, you know, this chip shortage and everything. And they were saying that, you know, and I've driven by dealers, and you see they've got all the cars pushed to the front to make it look full because there's nothing there. But they said the cars you can get are the lower price cars that don't have the big electronic packages, you know, the entry level cars and the things like that. And that's the only thing they're building.
Yeah.
Ford, as an example, is building F-150s, and they get to the end of the line, they push them off into a holding lot waiting to retrofit them with the chips when they finally get them. And in the same report, they said Toyota is the one manufacturer that's not having as much of a problem because they had done a partnership on a chip factory, and they produce their own chips. So they don't have stale chips. They've got fresh ones.
They don't have stale chips, right?
Yeah.
The guaca is always extra, though.
Yes. Oh, especially if you want it made on your tailgate. It's
that's right.
But yeah, the more
there's so much to think about in life. It's getting stressful.
Well,
there's so much to think about in life now. It's getting stressful.
I talked to my guy at Ford, not at the dealer, at Ford corporate on the Mustang team. And he's like, hey, just wanted to call you. Bad news. You know, I know your car was supposed to be made, you know, May 9th. You should have it by now in June. And he's like, if you've noticed, you don't have it. I was like, yes, I've noticed.
It's not in my driveway.
And he said, well, now that the chip shortage did affect, you know, your car as well, the Mustang Mach 1, he said, we think it's going to be made August 9th, but there's no guarantees.
Whoa.
And and then it takes about a month to ship it to here. You know, so look, obviously I want it and it's fun, but I'm the last person to whine about it. I was like, don't even worry about it. It's fine. I was like, there's other stuff to drive around here. It's not like I need it for work or something where I desperately need it. I was like, it's going to be fine. And then he actually brought up an interesting point. He's like, well, he's like, look, if it happens in August, then you get the car the beginning of September and everything will be fine. He goes, if there's a further delay, he goes, then you're getting into the 22 model year, and then we can look at any changes or new options for 22, and you can jump right onto that list. Let's say if there was a new color, you know, something like that, or a different appearance package or something, you know, along the lines of that. So I don't know. If anything gets announced between now and August, I guess I get to make a last-minute change.
Wow. you know, but who knows? That's frustrating, though. That's like people. That's like my clients waiting for their art.
I was gonna just say. Well, I can now say I have.
I'm at least a year out.
I've been consulting Ford on production because you know what it takes to get a set of wheels, you know?
It's I was just going to say, between art, between wheels, between everything.
It's just the state of the world right now. Somebody put up on, I don't know if you guys saw it, but somebody that follows me and I follow them on Instagram put up the old thing of Oprah Winfrey going, and you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Everybody gets a car. And it said, year after market parts are back ordered, and years are back ordered, and years are back ordered, everybody's back ordered, you know, because it's just everybody's feeling it right now. Brake companies, gentlemen. I mean, every one of my customers that have ordered brakes, no matter which company, they're like, yeah, it's all right. Yeah, I can't put my wheels on yet anyway because, you know, I don't have brakes. And, you know, so it's you know, it's just state of the world right now.
Well, my excuse is that painting behind me, that was 6 months to dry because it's oil and it's big. It's actually huge. You know, it's the size of a drawing table. But literally it takes 6 months to a year for the oil to dry properly. And then you have to oil out, which means you layer it with oil again and let that cure before you can put a coat of varnish on it. So that's my excuse.
Just use markers next time.
That's been going on for 1,000 years. So
yeah, maybe move to some place that's warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's warm here now. It's in the 80s and we're freaking dying up here.
See, it's too cold. It's too hot. He's
been
up with the Bears too long.
Hey, he's looking for Goldilocks.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You know what, Brad? We got water.
Got water.
I do too. I just have to pay a whole bunch for it.
We're going to hit that mandate anyway, even though we're not in drought up here. They're going to impose it on us and, you know, limit us, and because we feed everybody else water. But Tahoe's in good shape right now. Although it's doubled in size.
This is my damn pool, and I never get in it.
We're bursting at the seams, man. I got to say, during COVID, I'd be curious to see what our increase is for residents. We are literally bursting at the seams up here in Tahoe. There's nothing. There's nothing for sale. There's nothing for rent. We are maxed out. Everything is packed to the hilt. And you imagine a small town like this bursting at the seams, all of our resources, you know, gas is up to almost $5. I paid $4.89 a gallon yesterday.
Wow.
Trying to get it before the weekend. Over the weekend, it goes up even more. So I got to say, that's the downside to Tahoe is, you know.
Got to truck it up the hill.
Well, speaking of gassing up and hitting the road, tell us about the this Bronco off-road adventure thing.
Yeah, that's smart.
I was going to tell you about
doing it for years.
Matt, how did you know I was going to tell you about that? So it's called the Bronco Off-Rodeo. And what it is,
that's
is
smart.
Ford has taken it to another level, and they said, hey, if you're a Bronco owner,
nobody is.
You know, it happens to be a Bronco owner because we're not shipping them yet.
Yeah.
All you have to do is have one on order, and you can go there. So they've got one in Mount Potosi, Nevada, which, if you guys know,
that's
in the middle of nowhere. That is between Pahrump and Las Vegas. There's nothing out there. And that's part of the whole thing.
Now there's a motorcycle off-road school out there.
There is one other thing out there. Then there's another one in Moab, Utah, which for those of you that don't know, because that's like off-road Mecca, that is just south of Salt Lake City. Then they have one in Horseshoe Bay, Texas, which is outside of Austin. They're going to put one up later this year in northeastern USA. And if you don't know where that is, get a map. So but what these are is they built like these little ranches, and they're off-road ranches where you come, you show up. You don't bring your Bronco.
You can. You won't have it, though.
Yeah. But they're going to sit your butt in the seat of one similar to what you own or have on order, and take you there. 15 miles of trails at each one. And they have a person who actually takes you out for a day and a half and teaches you how to properly drive off road, how to use all the different modes, the goat and all of that. And it sounds really cool. Now, you got to get yourself there. You got to put yourself up in your own hotel. But after that, they take care of everything else.
And, yeah, packages and stuff. I think it was 50 miles, man. It says
it's 50 Bronco miles.
Drivers offer with 50 mm-hmm. miles. Yeah. I thought you said 15.
But, no.
I love this idea because when you get like a hot sports car or something, or you get like one of the Hellcats, you know, the Durango Hellcat or Challenger Hellcat, you get a day at the Radford Racing School. It used to be the Bondurant Racing School, right, if you guys know. They've changed the name. I always love the idea of going, hey, if you're going to get a super hot sports car or some crazy SUV, get a day on the track to at least understand the capabilities of this car. And doing the same thing on the off-road side. So Ford invited me out with Bronco Sport. It was their journalist version of this, but it was basically a day off-roading with a team of guys and Ford's people, and they had it all set up, and you did all sorts of different terrain, which they planned. Everybody had walkie-talkies, and then they walked you through the vehicle and the terrain, which was really fun. They're like, we're going to hit sand, or we're going to do rocks, or we're going to do water. We're going to show you how, and switch your car to goat mode terrain here and level this and level that. And this is the speed you want to go and follow the guy in front of you. And it really was kind of fun at an entry level, like sort of a basic level. I haven't gone out like you have, Aaron. But even then, like you said, you were constantly learning from people who've done it before.
Well, it's funny you say that, because when I was reading this article, I'm like, would someone like me really enjoy this? I think I would enjoy it from a technology point of view. Like, wow, these things. Oh, by the way, I love the GOAT acronym. What was it? Go over
any terrain.
Go over any terrain.
First of all, you're going to get out there. You're going to meet other people that have cars like you, vehicles like you.
If you're a clubber.
The other thing is, we drive a lot of different cars. When you jump in a 4x, you know, if it's new, it's a little intimidating. You see the lever, you see all the, you know, the things. And for people that are jumping in a Bronco for the very first time and don't know what, you know, I think it's like you said, Matt, any new vehicle. I mean, what do? We go through the owner's manual. We go through, you know, because there's so many electronic buttons. There's so many things you want to know. The McLaren that we drove. I drove it for a week. And on the last day, you said, hey, how'd you like the roof that goes, poof, you know?
Yeah, and, from translucent to opaque.
Yeah, from translucent. And I went, what? Oh, is that what that button is? And I pressed it up. Because the last thing you want to do is you're zooming down the freeway, press a button, have the top go, wah, you know, I mean.
Yeah. Honestly, Aaron, I think you would have fun. First of all, you like off-roading anyway. So if somebody said, hey, do you want to go to Utah and go off-roading? You'd be like, yeah.
Hell yeah. In anything. Yeah, in anything I'll do it, old or new. But these things have so much tech and they're so capable. I mean, if you have to build confidence with the vehicle, especially if you're someone like me that's very old school and I'm used to, you know, experimenting to find out. It would be really nice to be with some pros, and these guys are all pros, all these trainers. You're doing recovery. Like you said, you're doing water stuff, you're doing desert stuff, sand stuff, rock crawling. You know, you're doing all these different maneuvers, and it would be really cool to build confidence with your vehicle. And Brad, like you said, understand what all the buttons are.
Yes, you know? and let's put it in perspective.
And learn to tread lightly, I might add.
Aaron, take one, of, take one of our wives. They're sitting there in dead stop traffic, and they look to the right, and they go, there's no fence there. They
goat mode.
They know what lever to put it in. They go off the freeway, over the embankment, and down into the neighborhood, and they can get around the traffic because of their off-rodeo days. You know?
Totally. But I have to say, you know, I talked about this when we went on our overlanding trip. You know, it's really important to tread lightly, especially these days, because there's, I don't know how many more people out on the trail.
Yeah, the level of people.
That maybe don't have the experience. And we're trying to conserve the trail so that people can use them. I just went up Twin Peaks Trail up here in Tahoe. And man, even since last year, the ruts were deeper. There was more silt. The trail had been moved a little bit to one side. The owner of Twin Peaks, I think it's a privately owned area, cut a new path because the old one was getting so rutted out down at the bottom. I mean, this stuff, you have to conserve these trails. Otherwise, they go away. And there's a lot of organizations trying to take them away. So there's a lot of us out there trying to preserve them. And one of the things that the website for Ford was talking about was you know, trail preservation and how to tread lightly, and they want to teach you that too, which I think is awesome. So well done.
And what is with the people that go out and they leave their trash behind? I mean, it's you hauled it in. It doesn't.
I picked up four beer bottles, three on the way up and one on the way down.
It's crazy. Our friend Teresa and her sister. From Baja Forged, and you know, they've been on the show. They just did a thing in out in the desert where it was all the off-roaders got together and cleaned up, you know, because so many people have been, you know.
And it's amazing when they start adding up the tonnage.
Yeah.
I mean, they get it by like the Gambler 500 posts all the time. Hey, you know, clean up Roundup or whatever they call it. And that, you know, and they bring big trailers because there's cars out there and parts out there and broken stuff. And man, they bring it in by the ton.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. So well done, guys.
So I know we're kind of running out of time, Brad. You've got a hard out in a few minutes, but
let's talk about that.
a bunch of new cars have been announced. I'm just going to run through a few things and see what piques anybody's interest. And maybe the next couple of weeks we can start to dig in some more specs on what's coming out.
Now, are these cars going to be built, or are there going to be 2-year delays?
Yeah, well, some of them.
this is the perspective list of cars that might get built in the next.
Some of them are a ways out, but these are all supposed to be.
It's the 2022 that'll be available in 2024.
Yeah.
And some of them are revisions. So I just want to get to that. The first thing, real quick, is. We've been teasing it for a while, is Ford Maverick. This is a small pickup truck, smaller than a Ranger. It will come in it's a unibody truck. It'll come in a front-wheel drive version or an all-wheel drive version with an independent rear. So they just started teasing it, and I believe the official debut in the specs will be in about a week. But the Ranger that we knew from the 80s and 90s was a small truck, and the new Ranger is about the size of what my Ford Lightning F-150 is from 95.
Yeah.
So as trucks got bigger, people are going, you know, we didn't have the mini trucks, if you will, for a long time, but now we're getting back to a small, inexpensive, like it's hard to believe that Ford's entry level vehicle at this point, price wise, I believe is going to be a small truck. It's going to be the Maverick. So, and let me just run through a few of these others real quick. Toyota is doing a few updates to their Tacoma. They have a 2022 Tacoma TRD Pro and a Trail Edition, which is going to be interesting. They have a 2022 Toyota Corolla Cross. This is an SUV, a crossover, but it fits in between the small CHR and the RAV4. This kind of fits in between those segments. And this is going to be a new vehicle for them. They may have a hybrid version as well. It could be a big player for them. And for the Toyota Pro, the TRD Pro, the Tacoma that I mentioned. Also a new color, electric lime. It's actually pretty cool. Those of us in LA would probably scream it's like a Lamborghini color.
But yeah,
it is
totally.
Pretty cool. Yeah. They also are going to have an army green and a lunar rock color.
Those are pretty cool too. I'm looking at everything now.
Yeah. Toyota 2022 Toyota GR86. This is basically the FRS. This is the revised version, a little bit facelifted. This is basically the second generation of the car. So whatever little changes and facelifts, this is a little bit more involved. It's kind of interesting. Lexus has been very successful with their Lexus NX, which is sort of their RAV4 version of the Lexus. And there's a facelifted version, a whole new next generation NX that's coming out. It's a very nice entry-level luxury SUV, the NX. The Toyota Supra is getting a couple of special editions. There is going to be the Supra A91 CF edition, which I think will limit to 600 units and will have some added carbon fiber and some additional downforce. It's kind of cool looking. Just get a special edition of that car. And then they're coming down the pike. Their future car is the Toyota BZ4X concept, which I believe is going to be an all electric concept. It should be in the United States for next year, but it's kind of a cool looking, sharp lines kind of SUV. Yeah. So, a bunch of new things I just wanted to touch on real quick as anybody's looking.
Is it an SUV or is it more of a crossover?
Yeah, kind of crossover. I think they're calling it
size. It's hard to see what size it is. Oh, it's pretty big.
Yeah. I think it's a little bigger. I don't think it's a three row vehicle, but,
I think it's like those Mercedes that, they're not crossovers, but they're not SUVs. They're kind of that in.
Yeah, GLAs or whatever.
Yeah, GLA.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know
new
if
category.
It's RAV4 style, but yeah. Anyway, to the point is we were talking about so many delays in vehicles because of chip shortage. Now, if people were thinking of getting a car this year and that's been put on hold because you can't really get what you want, well, just know that 22, by time chips ramp up, there are quite a few new cars and trucks and SUVs that are going out there.
And,
and hopefully we'll continue to be able to test a few and drive a few and share it. But it's some good stuff.
Yes. Yes, you guys will.
But
come on. Tahoe's beautiful. Let me have some.
Here's the thing. You can always buy a used car.
Yeah.
And
for an all-time high.
There was an all-time high of a used car that had within the last decade had found a tree. And
96, I believe it gave that tree a nice hug.
Yes, yeah. We're talking about Bonhams that just sold a 1960 XK15 Jaguar. And this thing was this wasn't a barn find. This was a wrecked car that they found in a warehouse.
If you look at it, you'd keep walking.
Yeah.
On the auction block, you'd keep walking.
Somebody drove it, smashed into a tree, balled it up, put it in their garage, and left it there since 96.
And it looks like it wasn't a nice one when they balled it up. Yeah. It had primer spots. It had,
see how much Bondo was on that quarter panel?
Yes.
Holy cow.
And it went for
$127,552.
What's interesting, though, is it is six times what they put the estimate on.
Yes,
they didn't think it was worth much of anything at all. And
any car that goes for six times over an estimate is going to be news. But when it's this, it's even worse.
It almost looks like a movie prop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of a few drop heads. I mean, it's a considerably rare car for what it is, but the 150s aren't even like the 120s, the 140s, those are the great ones. The 150, I've never liked those. I passed on a couple of those.
I think we're seeing a little overzealousness on someone's part, because if you look at the recent auction back in March by RM Sotheby, and they had seven cars that they called their barn find cars as part of their online sale.
Yeah.
And you look at like the 69 429 Boss Mustang that was on there, Matt. That would have been any other time. We would have called that, oh, an old muscle car. Somebody started, you know, they never restored. They never just kind of put it away because it had traction bars under it. It was missing half of the front end. Who knows whatever other parts were missing. And that car went for $181,500. And now those cars regularly fully restored go for $325. So that's still a pretty tall price for, you know, an unrestored missing parts Mustang. But the rest of the auction, even the 1953 356 Porsche only went for $88,000. And did you guys see the 63 Ferrari body? No chassis?
Oh, yeah.
It was a bare body, and it went for $34,100. Yeah. And I've mentioned it on the show before. I think that's the same car that I could have bought in 1996. I was offered to me with the V12 and an aluminum small block that the guy had put in it with the original Baroni wires and everything for $10,000.
Oh, man.
It was a rolling car. And wow. Boy, those are the times that you know, kick yourself in the rear end. It's like, that'd be like Matt missing out on a brand new Fox body Cobra, you know.
With a Chevy motor.
Was 50 bucks. Well, no, the V12 was over to the side, and it was with us. And
speaking of that stuff, you know, the James Dean Porsche transaxle.
Oh, yes, I know. Can you believe that?
$382,000, but I don't know if you guys heard that Zach Baggins, I believe is his name.
Bilbo's brother.
He's the host of, it's not Bilbo's brother. He's the host of Ghost Adventures, and he bought it to put it in his museum. He has like a haunted stories kind of museum.
But it wasn't in the car when he crashed.
Yeah.
Well, James is still attached to it.
It wasn't the one in the car when he crashed?
No. Supposedly he took it out and they put a customer end in it. That's why it's in mint condition, right? Isn't that the story? Well, allegedly, if you read the original ad when it went up for auction, it had a word like allegedly. Like, so supposedly, saying, this is the rear end.
So what you're saying is that the spider that I've got over in my warehouse in Arizona that I forgot was in there?
Yeah,
that's not the original gearbox in the car.
No,
that's
right. No, the 118th model you have. I don't even know how accurate it is.
Yeah. Anyway, it's going to end up in a museum. He just thought it was part of a good story to tell.
Sure.
You know.
Well, see, then he can write it off on his taxes too. Because
that's a good point.
He's going to need to because it's $382,000.
He's going to need to sell a lot of tickets to that museum just to pay for that. Hey, we got to wrap it up, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Matt, where can find us online?
Right. Check us out at shiftandsteer.com, and you can find me at Motorator on social media.
Double A Run?
And I'm all over social media, and as Aaron Hagar, and my website is The Rat Runner's Garage.
And find me on Instagram at Bradley_Fanshawe. And you can also see me on those weird little, have you guys seen my ads yet pop up anywhere online?
I saw you post about it, but I haven't seen the ad yet.
There's one that I'm talking about lights, and there's another one where I have a fake TV.
Oh, there it goes. He's frozen.
We lost Brad. He can't even plug his own ad.
Damn it.
Well, you know, the problem with the auction world is these days, crypto money.
Brad stopped to get some Bitcoin.
We're not coming back? Is that it, guys? That must be it. I hope everybody can hear us. This is Shift and Steer, and we're out of here. Because the internet is out of here. All right, everybody. Okay. See you next week.
Bye, guys.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.